You are doing better than you think you are. Now, that's a statement that some of you may agree or disagree with, but we're going to talk about why you actually truly are doing better than you think you are. And that's what the subject we're going to cover today on the Speak and Get What You Want podcast with the great Francis Jones. Francis, great to be with you.
It's great to be here, Chad. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Francis, I started this with the statement, you're doing better than you think you are. And I actually got this from you. So tell me why you firmly believe that most people are actually doing better than they think they're doing.
You know, it is an interesting question. And the reason I say that is because people generally have kind of this muddy idea of what success looks like. They stand where they currently are and say, if I could just be down there, like that's all I'm looking for. I just want to be down there. And then when they get down the road, they look back and they think about missed opportunities, or they think about something that maybe could have gone a little bit differently in a perfect world. And then they are frustrated when they got to where they actually wanted to get, or they never really were clear about where they wanted to get. Right?
That's interesting.
I'm a big sports guy, right? Yeah, I'm a big sports guy. And I hate how much I love sports, but I love sports. And baseball is one that works well for this. Is if you think about a baseball team going on a nine-game road trip, right? And they're playing really good teams. If I can just win 5 games, if I can go 5-4, just 1 game better than 500, I'm going to be ecstatic at the end of that road trip. Until when, Chad?
Well, until you win the first few, right?
Until I win the first 5 games. If I win the first 5 or 4 out of 5, I think, okay, I won 4 out of 5. Now if I just win 3 out of 4, then I'll be happy. And wait, what happened? You said you'd be okay at 5-4. You finished the road trip at 5-4, but you're mad? Like that is not an output. That is not a results problem. That's a mindset problem, right? I should be at the end of that saying, hey, 5-4, that's just what I wanted. I'm right where I want to be, right where I need to be. But I'm not. I'm angry at myself, or I'm angry at the team. It just doesn't make any
sense.
Well,
but you said 2 things there that I think were really powerful. The first one, when you began your analogy, you said people think to themselves, or they'll pause and say, I wish I was further along, or I wish I was there. But the reality, and you touched on this, is most people don't even really know where there is, right? So they right. go, I can't believe I'm this age and I'm not further along. I can't believe I'm this age and I haven't figured it out as much as I should. So their lack of clarity, do you believe that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks?
I think that's probably the biggest stumbling block. I mean, there are lots of stumbling blocks if we really look for them, but if I'm not really crystal clear about what I want, I don't have goals, or I don't have a process in place to accomplish something, it's very difficult to know if I got there, right? Especially when there are opportunities along the way that don't quite go your way. And so you think, oh, if I had just taken that job, or if my boss had just given me that raise, or I had just met this one person 10 days sooner. Yeah, those are nice things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we let that affect what our expectations are, then we get really down on ourselves, or we get down on other people, and it is untenable. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. It's not sustainable. And we end up going spiraling and going farther away from where we want to be.
You know, you live in, just to piggyback on your analogy a little bit here, you live in Phoenix and in the Valley, at least. And you, you know, oftentimes a lot of people drive from Phoenix to Disneyland, right?
Right.
And so they, as they're on that journey, they are very clear on where they want to be and where they're going to end up. So if they have a setback along the way, the gas station takes too long, they have to wait at a drive through, whatever, it's okay because they still are clear on where they're going, right? And so right. in your analogy for baseball, if you're clear, I want to go 5-4, then you are okay when, you know, even if you come out of the gate fast, you're okay because you knew exactly where you're going to be. But too many people just have no idea on what they really want.
Right. They're not really realistic. They're not realistic about what it is they want. They're not realistic about what's possible. And I'm not suggesting putting limitations on yourself at all. But if I've got a goal to do something, there's a reason why I had those, I made that goal. It could be because of the amount of time I have or don't have. It could be the amount of resources I have or don't have. And so to get to the end of that and then second guess that doesn't really serve me very well. It just doesn't serve me well.
But you said, going back, you said it's more of a mindset issue. So it's having the mindset to gain clarity? Is that what you were alluding to?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have to create this idea of what it is you want, and then you work towards getting that. And if we are clear about what we want, I want to have this type of a job versus this job, right? We want to be clear about what we want, but we don't want to be unrealistic either or too narrow in our focus. We want to be clear about the direction we're headed and where we want to get and how we want to get there, but flexible enough to know when something's not working and move off of something. It's really, we have to be in present in that moment to understand what's working, what's not working, to pivot. I mean, think about any time in your life when you've been really frustrated with something versus a time in your life that didn't go well, but you didn't freak out about it. What was the only difference? It's what's totally here. It's what's up here. It's who you surround yourself with. It's what the stories you're telling yourself about, well, you know, that didn't work, but I can try this. And when I'm in a bad place, I'm like, well, this is never going to work. I can't believe I ever thought I could do this. It's what's in your head. It's what's between your ears. And for some of us, it's nothing, right? We got to be really careful, but I joke, but that's, you got to be clear about
for
that.
For sure. Stuff. And you do have to be very careful when you're talking about these expectations and the clarity of your destination, that the way you speak to yourself, and those that have listened to the podcast for some time have heard me share the story where I was frustrated with one of the companies I was working with because things weren't moving fast enough. And I came upstairs and I was like, this company, it's not moving fast enough. It's not moving fast enough. And then Cassie said, say it one more time and it'll become a reality, right? And I stopped and I laughed because she's right. You know, we say these things, it's not moving fast enough, or we, oh no, I'm a failure, and we beat ourselves up. But the reality is, and what you're sharing is, you're actually doing better than you think you are. But as so many people, and Dan Solomon talks about the gap and the gain, right? So many of us focus on the gap and not in reality look at where we've come and the gain and how far we've progressed. So then how do you manage that? And let me ask you this. Well, before even, I'm gonna ask you two questions at once, but the first one is this, the great Dr. Scott Baird always says we should have range goals. Okay. And is that something that you think helps when we establish expectation? So this is what Scott says, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just want to get your take on it, is that we should say, you know what? I want to win, going back to your baseball analogy, the goal is to win 5 to 6 games. I want to lose 15 to 20 pounds, like the range goals. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I do agree with that. And I like that mindset. The problem is once you limit yourself to a very specific ideal or goal or whatever it is, you run the risk of being derailed very, very quickly. So on our analogy with baseball, 5-4, if I lose the first 4 games of that road trip, it's really quickly going to become a failed road trip, right? If I give myself a little bit of latitude, a window, then I can create a better place for my head to be. And again, I don't want to mix metaphors here. We do want to be specific in our goals, but you have to be careful about what you label success and failure of those goals. And so it's okay to have a goal of this, but recognizing there are victories in every step along the way, not just the finished product. Because we can make it mean whatever we want. And if we are, if we're not careful with our headspace where we're living, we make missing that exact number mean something that it doesn't have to mean. Because the minute we find ourselves saying, well, it's not possible for me to accomplish that anymore, we are likely to give up or move on to something else. And that's, I think that's where people get stuck a lot today. I know for me, that's where I get stuck. If I'm not careful and I don't look a little bit more, of like, what could success look like? And could success look, have different faces to it versus it must be this very thing? And I get it. Listen, sometimes that is what it looks like. You know, the Ryder Cup that just happened, you know, we have on Sunday, I don't know if you're a golf fan or at all, but the Ryder Cup, they were way behind and they had to win a certain number of points. There's no window. They had to win a certain number of points. And so sometimes there are goals that have to be that specific. But think about it in your life, Chad, with your career, with your income, with your relationships, with your personal and professional relationships, right? How many of them have goals that are that specific? I have to get to 14 and a half points to win the title. Sometimes they are, but like it doesn't have to be. And when you say, well, I had a goal of $145,000 income this year and I only hit 130. Well, that's, man, you're setting yourself up for failure. It just, and disappointment.
That's a powerful point. That's a powerful point. So that range goal thing for me is fairly new. Right. But I love the power of it. And I think then you can celebrate along the way and you don't feel like, oh, I failed and I'm going to give up.
You know, I think the key to that is the celebrating along the way is that in today's society, we're an instant gratification society. You know, people are on their phones all the time. My good friend Dan Oakes is a therapist and he does a lot of discussion about the neuroscience of the brain and the swipe and the high, the euphoria you get when you swipe, right? So we want to swipe. So we have to get something instant. And if we don't stop and celebrate the steps along the way, you know, I got an interview. Okay, I didn't get the job, but I got an interview. How powerful is that? I mean, you've seen on LinkedIn, people that say, I submitted 130 applications and I haven't gotten any. Okay, well, that's hard, but did anything go right? Did you get any feedback that worked? Did you have, I mean, it's so hard, I know, and I'm not trying to minimize someone's pain, but if we can't stop along the journey and say, this went really well for me, even though I might not get what I thought I wanted, is there anything I can take from this? And you and I both know, because we've had many discussions about this, you're going to be a lot happier if you can find success in the moment. And then you can pivot as you go.
I wonder, Francis, as you say that, I wonder how many people don't recognize that they're doing better than they think they are because they haven't celebrated any of the mile markers along the way.
I think it's most everybody. I think if you find yourself in a funk, if you find yourself in a position where you think nothing's going right, or my job's not going well, or my relationships, or with my kids or whatever. I mean, you've got kids. I think you have one or two, don't you? Have one or two kids, Chad? A few kids, right? But I mean, your kids are doing something every day to be celebrated. And when we don't celebrate those things, that's when things can go sideways for us, right? And so I know for me, if I look back, if I were to close my eyes right now and you put me on the spot and you said, hey, think of a time where something didn't go really well and you were really down the dumps, I promise you it's because I was not willing to give myself the grace to celebrate anything positive in the journey. And it's just, you know better than any that it is our mindset plays a huge part in the successes that we get. The more we can say, listen, that didn't work out, that's okay. I'll just try something else versus what am I going to do now? There's nothing possibly out there for me. Like, you know, I know it's cheesy and it's overused, but I mean, if you live in a world of abundance, then there's always something next. And that only, you can only recognize that if you can celebrate the victories that you had. And I would even challenge you to celebrate the victories you didn't have.
Okay,
the
so, losses. But how connected, and I know people, we talk about gratitude all the time, right? But sometimes I don't think people understand why it's so important to be grateful. But what you're saying right there, because it's like, yes, I know, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. Especially, you know, you talk about children, you know, you're like, hey, listen, you have so much you need to be grateful for. And they're like, yeah. And it becomes white noise for them. But what you just said there really connects the dots powerfully because it's when you celebrate those victories, in essence, aren't you simply having gratitude for what you have accomplished?
Yeah. Yeah. So my son is a pitcher on the baseball team. He was a freshman and he's had a growth spurt, but you know, kids grow at different times. I know your kids, I've seen pictures and one, like 6 months later, right, there'll be this, right? So he was still a freshman and we had a tournament at the high school and we played a smaller school. But the tournament was originally this team from Chicago who was like 6A. They're a big school. We're flying out because it was a tournament that was supposed to have 32 teams that was going to have like four different divisions. Well, the field that we were supposed to play on didn't work out. So they ended up coming to our school. And so my son's a freshman. He's a pitcher. They're killing us. They're killing us. Our best pitcher's on the mound, bases loaded, no outs. Coach calls for my son to come and pitch. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. I mean, bases loaded, no outs. They're killing our ace. My son's a freshman. He's still growing. He's still learning how to play at that level. And he gets worked. I mean, he gets worked. He gives up like six runs. He doesn't get an out. He comes out of the game. Afterwards, I asked him how it was. I said, how was that for you? Because I know it looked hard. He's like, I've never been that nervous in my life. And I said, well, what do you think? He's like, well, I can't imagine anything ever being worse than that. Right. And he's right. Like it didn't go right. Well, like I'm not trying to gloss it over. He gave up hard hits. He gave up runs. He walked guys. He hit guys. Right. But if he can walk off the mound and say, man, can it get worse than that? I mean, that's a small victory, right? To be able to say, hey, it can't get worse than that. Because next time he goes out of the mound, at least it's not against those guys. And at least it's not in this situation, right? And so that's the blessing. Now, he's not like that all the time. He's a normal person. He gets discouraged like sure. The rest of us do. But if we think about the things that have gone well for us, they've gone well for us typically because we were willing to be like, okay, all right, was that as bad as I thought it was going to be? Was it? Oh, if it was, okay, then what can I learn from it next? When you dissect it and you can figure out what to take from it and grow from it, it's not a failure. It's just a setback.
I love that. I love that. And that when you celebrate those things and you acknowledge the good, right? It's, you know, it comes back to really like we're talking about having gratitude. But also that gratitude then leans into that abundance mindset. Because so when you mentioned abundance mindset earlier, and I know we hear that a lot, you know, you need to have an abundance mindset. There's plenty out there. There's plenty of opportunity. And Francis, you and I have had enough experience in business. The most successful people in business have that abundance mindset. They're just like, there's enough.
Right.
There's plenty. You know, they'll be sitting down with the competitor. And they'll be like, look, there's plenty of business for both of us, you know, but right. Then celebrating those wins and having that gratitude, are you saying celebrating wins, having gratitude will lead into that abundance mindset? Because people listening might not could say, I'm just not good at that.
I think it certainly can. I mean, but it has to be intentional, right? I think you have to be intentional about doing it. I love how you mentioned these successful people. I guarantee if you went to anyone who you consider to be a success, they could list out the failures longer than a list of failures longer than their arm, but they don't necessarily view them as failures. And they are failures in that the business didn't succeed or they got fired or whatever, but it's what they took from it. And it's less a failure and more about a setback. And what did I learn and what can I do to avoid that right. next time? Right. And so when we talk about the abundance mindset and just believing that there are things out there for us versus this is my one and only shot at this, there are times that's true, but for most instances, it's just not true. It's just not true. And it does take looking at things differently, right? As you know, I had weight loss surgery 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was 320 pounds, unhealthy. I couldn't tie my shoes without losing my breath, right? And when you do weight loss surgery, after about 6 weeks, you can start to eat again, but very little. You can eat very little. And I couldn't wait. I wanted pizza. I wanted to have some pizza. And so I used to get these Mod pizzas, which is like a personal pizza, but I was going to use restraint. And I said, I'm going to get the mini Mod, which is like 9 inches instead of 11. And I ate one piece and I couldn't eat anymore. And I was so angry. And I went to a coach because I'm a believer in coaching. And I had a coach who was a weight loss. She had done weight loss surgery. And so she was coaching me. And I said, I was so angry that I couldn't eat more pizza. And she said to me, that's interesting. She said, was it good? And I said, it was delicious. She said, were you full? And I said, I was full. She said, then why were you mad you couldn't eat more? And I said, I don't know. And at that instant, it was over. It was over. As soon as she called out this kind of weird thing, and I think it could go back to some childhood trauma. I was one of six boys and we didn't have a lot of money. So if you didn't eat fast, you didn't get any more, right? But if you were full and it was good, why are you mad that you couldn't eat more, right? And so as soon as I changed the way I looked at it, that problem has never happened again. It's never happened again, right? Because I remember, oh, was it good? Am I full? Done. That's it, right? And that's just an analogy for that. But when we talk about this idea of abundance, like I didn't get the job. Okay. All right. Was I qualified? Yeah, I was qualified. Did I interview well or present myself well, my resume, whatever? Okay. Well, that's it. That's it. Then it's time to move on. Like, why wallow? Why live in it? Why like beat myself up over something that I did everything I was supposed to do, right? And so you do have to be intentional about it. It's not just going to happen. And even now I like to think, oh, I'm this evolved guy. I'm not like, I have to think, sometimes I have to remind myself, right? And, but the more you can think through and say, okay, what is my takeaway from this? And what is going to propel me onto this next thing? How am I going to move past this setback and use this setback? I would love it if we could eliminate the word failure from our lexicon, right? It's just not a failure. There's really nothing is a failure unless we let it be a failure, right? So the only time I'd use failure is when I have failed to learn from this setback.
Oh, I love that. Right? I love that. And if you are clear on what you want to do, if you are clear in your direction, then you're focused on you getting there. And when you do have a setback, you are like, okay, but I still know where I'm going. I still know what I'm going to accomplish. But the challenge, Francis, is a lot of people, when they're not clear on where they're going, they're looking to the right, they're looking to their left. Okay. Right. I have a good friend of mine that we lived over in Norway together. And he was the first individual I was with there in Norway. And I just met with him today. And he's the CEO of his family's company. And their goal, you know, they want to do $2.5 billion this year and $3 billion next year. And those are fantastic goals, right? And he's exceptionally successful, very, very humble. But if we get caught up in looking, oh, wait a second, is my company going to do $3 billion? Right. And we start looking across and at what others are doing, then we lose track of what we want to accomplish, you know? And so when you start looking to the left, you look into the right and not looking forward. When you start having setbacks and failures, when you're looking at others, then it compounds those failures and really causes you even greater frustration.
Right. And I say this with all the respect I can absolutely muster, metaphorically and literally, there is nothing to keep up with the Joneses. There's nothing about it. There's like, I joke because I'm a Jones, right? But there isn't anything to keep up with. I mean, you think about it, like, have you ever been at a workplace where people started to talk about each other's paychecks, right? Or their bonuses, right? And so I was fine with my pay. I was fine with my bonus till I found out what he got. And then all of a sudden I find out what he got. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why didn't I get, like, it's this reality of like, it's comparing ourselves to others. It's really, really tough. And certainly there's things to learn from others. Your buddy in Norway, there's things to learn from him. There's advice. There is lessons to learn and to glean from him. But to compare yourself, it doesn't serve anybody. Your circumstances are different. The economy is different. The world is different. I don't know if he has 10 kids or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why, what he did. That has zero impact on me and what my goals are. And what I consider to be successful or what I'm trying to do, right? And it usually for me is not until I stop to think, oh, wow, I guess if I had just done this or if I had just done that or why can't I have that? It just doesn't, it does not serve me well.
Okay, so Francis, if we were to summarize you're doing better than you think you are. The three things that someone takes from this and says, I don't know, I just don't think so. Three things you need to really consider, and you correct me with if you think from what I'm deriving from our discussion here. Number one, make sure you're clear on what you really want.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, celebrate your victories along the path to getting where you really want. And then show gratitude for the experience.
That's what I think. If I was gonna add a fourth, it would be to how we frame failure, right? It would be framing failure as setbacks. Because when we think about
failure, doesn't that go with the gratitude piece though?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely. You cannot. I don't know anyone that is grateful for failure, meaning finality, right? It's like my marriage ended. That is failure versus a setback, right? And so I know that's probably a bad analogy, but the this idea of failure as finality versus a setback, which is just something to overcome, right? It's really tough to overcome finals, right? You know, in baseball, it's the bottom of the ninth. It's not final. It's not a final until it's final. Once it's final and you've lost, you failed, it's over. You can't go back. But all throughout the game, all throughout what we're doing, that life is, and luckily for us, Chad, something my dad used to say is that, you know, it's not over until you're safely dead, right? It's not final. It's not final until you're in the ground, right? And so there's nothing that has to be considered as final. With anyone listening to this, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. It doesn't have to be a failure. What can we do to move forward past that setback? So I think those are great points to summarize and to build on. If we can do that, then that's where you're going to find like the growth, right? Is to be able to take that and just not to focus on those other things. And I think gratitude probably is the underlying sentiment of all that, right? Is that are we grateful and can we find gratitude in anything, right? You and I both work for companies that have done well and then haven't done well. And I'm so grateful for the people I met, the relationships I've built, and the things I learned, even though the company didn't succeed. So me losing my job there or it failing, the company failed, but it's a setback for me, right? Trying to separate out those things. It's when I take that and personify that failure that I lose my gratitude and I lose my focus. And then I just beat myself up. And that just isn't a winning formula.
Not at all. Absolutely love what you shared though, Francis. Great to be with you as always. And we'll be doing this again.
My pleasure.
All right,
I can't wait.
Take care. Bye now.
Thanks.